Hope it makes sense. Turn to Revelation, the first chapter in your Bibles. Everything that Brother Joe read in the devotional proves, shows proof, gives proof of who Christ was. They disputed it, but too much written about him cannot be denied. Revelation 1 and 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The book was all, the whole scripture, all of it was written about him. Old Testament concealed him, New Testament revealed him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Those that are not servants are not going to believe, but his servants will. Things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The only people that's going to be blessed by it is those that read it and obey it. There's nobody in their right mind would want to go through the great tribulation that the book of Revelation lays out. In summary of our last lesson, you can, actually, 2 Peter sums it up quite well. He's talking about prophecy and end times, and if we even knew all the events at the time, what good would it do us? I mean, yes, there's a lot of good it would do us, but we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also with the works there that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then," this is the summary of last week's lesson, "seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" That's the end of them, to make us holy. Presently, the Lord is fitting a people out for his kingdom. And you look at the society today, we're just talking about things that goes on now that didn't go on 30, 40, even 20 years ago. Profaning the Lord's day is what we was talking about. Seems that most everything going on is contrary to God's word. The pagan holidays, the murder, the abortion mills, the blasphemy, the disobedience. People break God's law and have no remorse about it. We are to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's Romans chapter 8. Are we being conformed into his image? Society as a whole is going the other direction. As I mentioned, the Lord is working in his people to fit subjects for his kingdom. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Now, there's that old saying, "Oh, so-and-so will work if you pay him enough." My experience in the labor force, a person that'll work will work for $4 as well as $40. They might not take the job. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is all unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Gotta earn I'm not saying you earn salvation. That's all of God's free grace. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will earn or lose rewards. God will have nothing less than righteousness dwelling in His kingdom. That's why we're to be conformed into the image of Christ. These sin-plagued bodies, they got to be changed. He ain't going to tolerate these things. Gives us a new one. Gives us a new heart. We know from Ezekiel 36. We must be made like unto Christ. Philippians 3:21 speaks about. Actually, it's the epistles of John. When we see him, we shall be like him. But we also read in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. People read this all the time and don't really understand it. I read it to a man I worked for out in New Mexico years ago, and he sneered and said he had his salvation. Now, he wasn't even talking about that. It's a glorified body. He'd been sick, and we had passed around a card, and I signed it, put Philippians 3:21 on it. Means just what it says. Our body needs to be changed. It's vile. We all believe it now. The aches and pains and what's gone on just in the last few days. Death, it stops for no one, seems like. These things are the conduct of, or the law of, actually it's the law of Christ will be the conduct of the subjects of that kingdom. And we know the fathers could not keep the law of Moses, as it's called. Christ's law is harder. His subjects are going to keep it too. Many are worried about today with what's going on in the world. Are we in the tribulation? I thought it was going to be a rapture first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about that. When that day gets near, and it's going to get near, it's going to come. And one of these days, that minute's going to arrive. 1 Thessalonians 5. Tells us there in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken, be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's appointed us to salvation, not appointed us to wrath. But notice in verse 3, the last of the paragraph, they shall not escape. It's going to come like a snare we looked at last week. It's going to be quick and decisive. Well, are we in the tribulation? Well, we haven't heard them say peace and safety yet. So that's telling us we're not in the tribulation. One thing we're not. It's telling us one thing that we're not in the great tribulation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. Thinking the wrong chapter. It's talking about the two witnesses of Christ. Verse 6. They have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power to over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Has this happened yet? We're not in the tribulation yet. Do we have 144,000 young male virgin Jews? They wouldn't have had that over in that part of the country 100 years ago, but they've got them now. They've got enough people to have them now. Revelation 14:4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses, as they so-called either. They're Jehovah's true witnesses. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God unto the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no guile, and they are without fault before the throne. We'd have heard about them by now if they had been over there. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. We can all safely say this ain't happened yet. No, we're not in the Great Tribulation, but it's at the door. We looked last week at the events of Ezekiel. We think about what's happened to man. Where do we stand in relation to end times? Starting with the beginning, God placed man and his bride over the creation. Just Genesis 1:26, man lost that dominion. Since then, death reigns. That's Romans chapter, I'll read it rather than misquote. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, the last Adam, was Christ. By one man sin entered into the world, by one man redemption came. And over in the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, I'm skipping around a lot. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to set, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now that's the shape that man was in without Christ. When the righteous died, they went what's called Abraham's bosom by some, the heart of the earth. And then, of course, Christ, when he died, when he left there, he took a multitude, the captives, the righteous, with him up on high. We read in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14, speaking about Christ. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That had the power of death. And that's where he defeated him. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When Christ come forth from the tomb, that defeat was sure. It's kind of summed up in Psalm 69, verse 4. It's a good way of putting it. Psalm 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Now that's Christ. The world loves its own. He's not of this world. being mine enemies wrongfully and are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. It needs no commentary. It tells it very plain and simple and concise. Also, going back to the book of Genesis, we have the beginning of time. The evening and the morning were the first day. Then time breaks out of eternity. Before that time, it was eternity past. Then time goes on to what we read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. Time will be no more. Time of Revelation chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. First of all, let's look at verse 1, Revelation 10 and 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little open book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion crieth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Cannot elaborate on what they are. We don't know. They're sealed. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which there are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Going to be an end of time. We're not there yet. Getting closer every day. Time will be no longer. There will be an end of this present age at the commencing of, course, it's the 70th week of Daniel, 7 years. When will that be? We look for that to break out at any minute. Turn over the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. More evidence every day. Luke 21, beginning in verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The destruction of Jerusalem is nigh. It's happened in 70 A.D. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and upon the land of the people. Isaiah 13:16 mentions about how they treated the infants. They dashed them to pieces. This is in the days of 70 A.D. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. 70 A.D. Begins a new paragraph in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the moon and in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity, and the sea waves and the waves there roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We believe this is some 2,000 years after what we read in verse 24. pushing toward 2,000 years. Everything fits well. This sounds exactly like the day we're in. Turmoil. Getting worse by the day. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. A lot going on there, and not a whole lot of scripture. Like I say, this is looking at the overthrow of Jerusalem, and then it's looking at the end times. Now, go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, and the Gospel of Mark has this same passage, says, whom God hath chosen, those days shall be shortened. Shows God chose the elect. Now, there are those out there that say the elect deals with the church. Christ called those disciples the elect. That's all it means. I don't fit with scripture. Open the Gospel of Mark. I think it's chapter 13. Yeah, Mark chapter 13 and 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened those days. Now this is some 2,000 years after. We know after the early church. It's talking about the elect of God. God made the choice. Simple as that. So anyway, where do we stand exactly? Revelation, as far as in relation to the Lord's return, of course, Christ made it plain it wasn't for us to know the day nor the times. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. According to, let's start with verse 1. Now, this Revelation, the 6th chapter, I believe, is the overview of the 70th week. And verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer, without arrows, bloodless conquest, it's called. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Over in the book of Zechariah, I mean, to take peace off the earth, this all happens about at the outbreak of the Great Tribulation. Over in the book, turn over to the book of Zechariah, the first chapter. Verse 11, Zechariah 1 and 11. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, the earth sitteth still and is at rest. It has to be at rest before it can be made, brought into the spirit of war and killing one another. Read on. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the city of Judah, against whom thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Which that's pointing to Babylonian captivity. And the Lord answered the angel and talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me and said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. We looked at last week, he's going to bring all nations against him. Wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of that. In the book of Ezekiel, we looked last week. I mean, we're right there on the verge of end times. And when it starts, it's going to be very quick. Ezekiel 36 and verse 6. Prophesy I therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Israel has borne it for the last 2,000 years. Too much evidence of it. Chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and say, They were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he saith unto me, Prophesy unto the bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a great shaking. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Typical of spiritual life. They was there in the land, and this is where they are now. They're in the land. They're in unbelief. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. There's only one thing that can be. That's what we call the rapture. Verse 11, the bottom of the paragraph. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. That's what they're saying. They're in unbelief. That's where they are right now. I don't see anything that has to happen before the tribulation begins. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. The last 2,000 years since the overthrow of Jerusalem, been lots of wars. Lots of wars over there around that area of Jerusalem, Israel. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sounds like right where we are. The book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. Hosea, if I can find it. And what's around Daniel? Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. The third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. 1 to 2,000 years, then 1,000 years reign of Christ. Isaiah 40 speaks about Israel. She hath received double of the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. That's Isaiah 40 and 2. Many times we've looked at that passage in Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter. It's telling the same thing. Daniel 70 weeks. Of course, we know that we're waiting for the 70th week to commence, which covers Revelation chapter 6, as I mentioned. The horseman rides a horse that's red, which is the color of blood. Same thing we saw there in the book of Zechariah. The civil unrest that Christ spoke about, we've seen a bunch of it in the last several years, and it's getting worse. We're going to eventually have trouble, I'm sure, with Islam. Getting back to the four horsemen mentioned in Revelation 6, they're never mentioned after this. They're types. For sure, the rider of the white horse is not Christ, because what we read of him, as we see, that horseman is not named, but Christ is named the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And speaking about, and I saw heaven opened in Revelation 19 and 11, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now that's, we believe, after the judgment seat of Christ, that's where the crowns come from. Because if we get a crown, we're to cast it back at his feet, because the only way we have it's by him working through us. Speaks about armies which in heaven follow him upon white horses, verse 14, clothed in linen, fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with it he should smite the nations. Now we looked at Isaiah 66, there's going to be many dead bodies. This is what we're looking for to break out at any time. Of course, that's a battle of Armageddon. It's at least 7 years away. But the man of sin, we're out of time, but he hasn't been revealed yet. And we don't plan on being here until when he is revealed. Like I say, we're out of time. Going back to the beginning, eschatology is called the doctrine of last things, and it's very important. Got my notes out of order. Scripture must be centered around Christ, what he's done for his people, what he does for his people, and what he will do for his people. It's our human nature when we start looking into Scripture is, what does it hold for me? We oftentimes resort to the book of Revelation. What does the future hold? Well, in this life, death, destruction of your goods, that's what's coming upon the world. It's not a pretty picture. We looked last week at how the return of Christ ties in with the Lord's Supper. It's until He comes. These things are of great importance. Salvation ties the Redeemer's return. I mean, what Christ said in His high priestly prayer, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, and Thou lovest me from the foundation of the world." Close with John's 17th chapter, Christ's high priestly prayer. Verse 1, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh," that's authority. That's Brother Joe read in the book of Acts about authority. Christ has that authority now. "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on earth, and I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." Verse 2 is, "Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." That's an elect number. And none will be lost. He even made mention of that in that same chapter. "None of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that Scripture might be fulfilled." He's not going to lose a one, but woe to his enemies. That's all that I have time for. We'll pick up that next Lord's Day, Lord willing.